Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on chumbacasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's chumbacasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby. Mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa. Take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to ChumbaCasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Ch-ch-chumba. ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
In every family, there's one person who drives you a little crazy.
I gotta pick Jill up at 4 in the morning.
She comes once a year and she's leaving on Sunday.
However, there's no escaping it when it's your sister.
How we doing?
Your twin sister.
Are you going bald?
Huh?
No. You're getting fatter, and your hair doesn't realize it needs to cover more face.
Okay.
From the producers of Just Go With It and Grown Ups.
You and Jill are so alike.
We are nothing alike, I promise you.
She isn't shy.
Truth that!
And she isn't leaving.
I put a little list together of things I want to do.
Beach, horseback riding.
Let's go! Ah! Oh, my God!
Seriously, honey, can't you try a little harder? She's your sister.
Please don't destroy my pool.
Welcome to They Call This a Movie, testing the strength of friendships one terrible movie at a time. Subscribe to the podcast on iTunes and other podcast services by searching They Call This a Movie. We're part of the Main Naming Network, and to find more from us, check out the website at themainnamey.com or on Twitter and Facebook at themainnamey. Welcome back to They Call This a Movie. This is Anthony Delvecchio. With me, as always, is Dan Aquino and Mark Myers. Say hello, gentlemen.
Hello, everyone. How are we tonight?
Hey. Hello, Internet. How was your Thanksgiving?
Yes, we are coming to you live after Thanksgiving. We were planning to put this episode up before Thanksgiving, but crazy things got in the way, so we had to reconvene at a later date involving it was just a weird week after when we were trying to sit down. But we are back. We are back.
Yep.
We are, I guess technically we're on time. We were originally going to we're trying to do like a special episode like we did for Halloween. So we were actually a week early of when we usually drop They Call This a Movie. So we're kind of actually right on time. So it's not too bad. But the movie we wound up watching was supposed to be a Thanksgiving movie. While watching it, it's still actually relevant now, because as we watched it, although it is technically a Thanksgiving movie, it gets right past Thanksgiving almost immediately. So it's really more of a Thanksgiving to New Year's movie. So
it's all the major holidays.
It's all the major holidays. And that movie is the 2011 release, Jack and Jill.
Yep.
Released November 11, 2011, directed by Dennis Dugan. A budget of $79 million, grossed in the U.S. $74 million. So it probably made money internationally, but more or less a box office failure in the United States, because you also have to figure in how much money it spent in advertisements. But that is the movie we did. And guys, going into this movie, first of all, I just want to say I'm sorry. Because I was the one that picked this movie, and I made you guys watch this movie. So this is the first time I'll apologize for a movie that we wound up watching. But what was your thoughts going in?
Let Mark go.
Yeah. I was like, before going in, I had heard that it wasn't a very good movie, which is not saying much for later Adam Sandler movies. But you know, I saw Al Pacino was in it. I saw Katie Holmes was in it. And I'm like, maybe they do something with this. And I was so wrong. So wrong.
Maybe they do something with this?
Yeah.
I don't know what you were expecting them to do with it.
Maybe at least make it, I don't know, you know.
Like a half attempt at it?
Yeah. Just at least make it a forgettable movie instead of a really, really awful movie.
Hot take alert. I did not hate this movie.
Oh, what? Okay, we're going to cut this episode short. Everybody go home and think about what they did. And we'll
seriously
reconvene.
Wait, where we are in life.
We'll try again next year, guys.
No, I'm, that is not to say that I enjoyed this movie by any means, but I think this was one of those movies where its reputation preceded it.
Okay. So you went in with super low expectations.
Oh, I went in expecting nothing but just, I'll say that Grown Ups is probably worse than this movie.
Okay, I haven't seen Grown Ups.
So at least with this movie, they try to have some heart in the story, whereas in Grown Ups, it's really just like fart jokes. Okay. And this movie obviously has its fair share of fart jokes in it, mm-hmm. but at least they attempted to have like some semblance of a heart. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And, sure. I don't agree with you, but sure.
Okay, but I think this is going to be the only movie where we disagree on. Although, what did I say about Ernest Goes Back to School?
Ernest Goes to School, you will die on the hill that it's not the worst movie we've done.
That's my hill. I didn't think it was all that terrible. Again, by no stretch of the imagination is this a good movie. It's still probably like a 4 out of 10, in my opinion.
Okay.
But it's not, when I was watching, I actually watched it at work, and one of my coworkers asked me why I was watching this movie. I said, for my podcast that I do, make sure to listen to it. And, I made sure to drop in a good line for us. But, they kind of just like looked at me like I had 3 heads. That's weird. Why would you torture yourself with this? And maybe I'm missing something, but I didn't hate it.
All right. Well, a question. Would you consider yourself an Adam Sandler fan?
I wouldn't have until tonight, as I was talking to my wife about saying, you know, we're going to be recording this podcast. And she had the same reaction when I mentioned Jack and Jill. She said, why? And then we kind of went through naming the Adam Sandler movies. And I realized I like more of his movies than I hate.
Okay.
So if I had to go off of the absolutely hate list, you probably have like Little Nicky, That's My Boy, 8 Crazy Nights is pretty terrible. But then I kind of went over the movies that I like. Obviously, Billy Madison, Happy Gilmore, Big Daddy was pretty good. I like The Wedding Singer. So I would say I'm more inclined to like Adam Sandler than dislike him.
Okay.
But I'm very aware of his kind of his shtick now. You know what I mean? Like I don't go into an Adam Sandler movie thinking it's going to be good.
Right.
Yeah, I can. Yeah, I very much have the, in my terms of most Adam Sandler movies, there's a steep cut off for me that is usually either pre-Little Nicky or post-Little Nicky in terms of his comedies.
Sure.
That's sort of the dividing line for me in terms of Adam Sandler. I mean, there's probably good ones here and there. I haven't seen much outside of a few minutes here and there of things after that. I think some of his more serious work after Punch Drunk Love and all that you know, is a little bit better than any comedy he does after that point.
I might hate that movie of his more than any other movie he's ever made, to be honest with you.
Punch-Drunk Love?
Yeah.
I can see that, but...
I've never seen that movie.
Paul Thomas Anderson's very hit or miss for me, and that's one of the movies that I feel misses. But okay. that's for a different podcast.
But yeah, so that's essentially where I am with Sandler. Is usually anything after Little Nicky, I tend to think the worst of, and it usually doesn't disappoint me in that respect. I was, as I said earlier, I was more hoping that some of the guest appearances at least, you know, made the movie tolerable. There were points where, you know, I thought, you know, we're fine, but then something immediately after that would happen and I would hate my life for watching it.
Hate my life.
So that was my watching experience of Jack and Jill.
Okay.
What about you, Ann? What did you take away from this movie?
So my history with Jack and Jill is that several years ago, like I would say maybe like 5 years ago or so, my wife's aunt said that they had seen it and they thought it was hilarious and that we needed to watch it. And they had the DVD, so they gave us the DVD.
Wow.
And the DVD sat on our shelf for about 3 years until I think we just decided to throw it out.
Was it next to my Jaws book?
Yeah, it might have been. It was in the same trash can.
rest in peace, Jaws.
I will get that's for a different episode, but so that's my experience with Jack and Jill. I like The Wedding Singer. I like Big Daddy. Like Happy Gilmore, I've liked Billy Madison. I think Billy Madison doesn't hold up as well as some of those other movies I just mentioned. Looking back on it, I just watched it like a couple of weeks ago, and it's like he's really kind of a shitbag in that movie, and kind of overall in most of his movies, he's like could be argued to be the villain
at the very beginning, at least.
Yeah, I mean. It's like
Vince Vaughn owes his career to Adam Sandler, I think.
Who's that?
Vince Vaughn.
Okay.
I think he owes his career because they pretty much play the exact same characters in the beginnings of movies where mm-hmm. they're just complete asshats.
Yeah.
And then they make a complete turnaround.
Yeah. I don't want to stretch this out and much longer, but just like in Billy Madison, what?
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
What's so bad with giving Eric the company? He seems like he deserves it.
You can't fire Billy from anything.
Right.
Billy's not an employee.
If anybody doesn't deserve it, it's Billy.
Of course.
That's true. Yeah. That's 100% true.
Yeah, he loses nothing from Eric taking over the hotel company.
Not at all.
Right. He probably has more to gain because then his dad gets off his back.
Yeah. But that's how I feel about Billy Madison. But we are talking about Jack and Jill in this episode. So without further ado, I guess at this point, we're just going to go right into the plot. I will be driving this episode because I have notes from about a week ago. So this is going to give me a refresher because we've been sitting on this for a bit. So the movie starts off with a montage of real twins, but it seems like they're reading scripted stories.
Yeah.
It's not. You don't think those were genuine stories?
It didn't seem like it because a lot of them were like punchlines. Maybe they were real stories that someone, you know, took and then wrote and punched up a little bit, you know, kind of made a joke out of it, but whatever. And I guess this is kind of where the heart of it leads in. This kind of special bond between twins, which I guess for the most part people do say that is real. That is a real thing, to some extent at the very least. But I digress. And then that cuts in, that goes from these real sets of twins, and then we have kind of a home movies montage of Jack and Jill growing up together. And this is kind of where the one weird thing about Jill's characterization comes in. We start seeing that she is superhumanly strong.
I noticed that too.
which is odd. It's like it's trying to make, I guess it's making fun of her because it's, you know, it's Adam Sandler in drag, obviously. So it's a man pretending to be a woman. So it's playing up on the less feminine factors of her characterization. But it's just, it's odd. It's odd that she's superhuman strong. And then there are several jokes later on in the movie that assume that she's fat. But she's he's really not dressed up to be particularly fat, but it comes through, and it'll coming soon, very early in this movie. I'll talk about one of them, which is a horrifying joke. but yeah, it's a weird joke that they decide to play up that has no explanation for it. And then so the montage ends. It's basically the opening credits is where the montage plays. And then we cut to a commercial set to get our first of many cameos. I believe it's a Pepto-Bismol commercial, maybe.
Yeah. Pink, right?
Yeah. So it's Regis Philbin and Dana Carvey as a puppeteer.
I didn't even remember. I didn't even recognize.
Yeah, it's Dana Carvey. His first, I think,
all over my eyes, man.
I think his first role, if I remember reading this correctly, his first role in a film since before this was Master of Disguise.
Yes.
Yeah. So this is where we first meet Jack. He is an ad exec. I guess he's sort of like a CEO, a very hands-on CEO, as somebody that works in advertising. He's ordinarily probably wouldn't find the CEO on the set. It rarely happens, but he seems to be the only. He seems to be a man of a very small ad agency with his partner Tim Meadows, and they are discussing losing the Dunkin' Donuts account unless they get Al Pacino to star in their next Dunkin' Donuts commercial because they have the Dunkachino, which is a real drink. It's a real product. This is when we're starting to get blindsided by actual in-movie commercials we have to suffer through. So obviously Pepto-Bismol and Dunkin' Donuts paid a shit ton of money to get their products advertised in this movie, as well as Royal Caribbean Cruises.
Yeah.
And then we get, so we go from that issue of possibly losing Dunkin' Donuts to Jack's other issue is that Jill, his twin sister, is coming for Thanksgiving.
Oh, no.
Yeah. So, you know, he obviously has a strained relationship with his sister. She's, I guess, annoying because she changes her flight to early in the morning, which sounds crazy because, you know, she gains hours going from Queens or the Bronx to Los Angeles. So it makes no sense for her to show up early. Regardless, Jack shows up to the airport super late. Like, she is the only person in LAX at the time when he arrives. So he obviously didn't give a shit. So he's kind of the asshole.
Yes.
And this just kind of, this first scene with them meeting for the first time is just setting up the entire joke of the movie is that Jill is just very, very annoying. She is about socially inept as basically any other Adam Sandler character. She doesn't understand other people's, you know, wants, desires, motivations. She's this incredibly selfish individual, as is Jack.
It's weird because she's from Queens, right?
Yes. The Bronx.
The Bronx.
Because Chino's from the
Bronx. She's not street smart at all. And you would think someone from the Bronx would be, you know, at least know how to handle themselves in situations like that. And she's just totally inept.
Yes.
Super loud. That was pretty much the only stereotype they got correct for someone from the Bronx. She's just super loud. That's it.
Yeah. I think that would be a more interesting movie if she was more of a streetwise, you know, New York, you know, a stereotypical New Yorker talking tough and, you know, kind of fish out of water in Beverly Hills where everything's more buttoned up and all that kind of stuff. But instead we just have Jill, who is a bull in a china shop, everywhere she goes. It doesn't matter where she is. She's just a massive pile of crap.
She's kind of a force of nature.
She and her two other main characteristics besides being annoying is that she has a bird and she sweats an awful lot.
It's not funny, but when you say it, it's funny.
Yeah.
Hearing it out loud is like, well, that's terrible characteristics.
Yes. So she sweats a lot for some reason. We don't know why. Because she's fat, maybe? Because she's superhuman strong? I don't know.
Or to set up a joke later on in the movie?
Possibly. then cut to Thanksgiving, which she sleeps in. She sleeps super late. She sleeps till like 5 o'clock in the evening.
Yes.
Which is weird. Thanksgiving dinner features Adam Sandler's kids, who are both very weird, and that is their characterization. The son likes to tape things to himself for no reason. And the daughter likes to dress her doll up the way she's dressed for no reason.
Down because a lot of these I'm forgetting.
Yeah.
I remember the son taping things to his chest for no reason, but I don't remember the doll with the daughter.
Yeah.
It was daughter a thing. Was very forgetful.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
Yeah, they don't point it out till later, but yeah, it's definitely a thing.
Okay. There are several characters that have absolutely no point in this movie, including the two children. Katie Holmes' parents, who are in this scene for no reason, as well as Katie Holmes herself.
Yes.
She has absolutely nothing to do throughout this entire movie.
I think she's supposed to be the voice of reason.
But she never even gets mad. She never gets mad at Jack. She never gets mad at Jill.
She has
no effect on the plot whatsoever.
Right. She's more there to scold Jack.
Mm-hmm.
She just gets disappointed.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now, Jack, try and be nicer to Jill.
Right. And even later on when Jack does something very selfish and stupid, she doesn't even do anything of consequence to him. Or like,
nope.
Like, you need to straighten up or like that, until you figure out how to be nice to her, we're leaving, or like anything to really show Jack.
Yeah, there's never a threat on his marriage.
Nope.
Right?
And he does some pretty shitty things in this movie.
If Jack was single, this movie is exactly the same.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You could lift his entire family out of this movie and it would not affect it in one little bit.
Right, because the only thing that's really in danger is his job. Not even his job. It's just the account.
Mm-hmm.
But they never say that if Dunkin' Donuts leaves that he's fired.
Well, I think he owns the company, so I would assume it just they would think that it's their biggest client and they would go bankrupt.
Yeah.
They don't even say that, though.
Right.
It's just like, we can't lose them. Well, why? Well, they're our biggest client. Okay. And that's it.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, that would be a big hit, but...
Well, as someone that works in advertising, that it's not uncommon that... So I was able to make that assumption is that if they were to lose Dunkin' Donuts, they would not have enough money to, you know, pay their employees.
Okay.
Yeah.
See, we don't know that, Ant. All right, we're not on the inside. Like.
That's right. I've got an insider's in. There's also a homeless guy at Thanksgiving dinner, played by Alan Covert, who I believe is playing his homeless character from Happy Gilmore.
That's what I thought too.
Yeah, I think it's the same guy.
Which leads me, and Anthony, you asked us to have
Lucky Land Casino asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
In my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
A couple of jokes, or a joke that we liked
from
this movie. And that kind of led me to one of my favorite parts of the movie. And I think it's just the way that he delivers the joke. When he's at the dinner table with the family eating Thanksgiving, and Jack and Jill are going back and forth. And the way he just says, like, this is super awkward. I'm going to go. That was one of my
God damn it.
Was that one of your parts?
That was mine. Yeah.
That was funny, right? All right, so I'm not alone. I forget the exact thing that like the exact line that Jack says to Jill, but it gets super awkward. You're like, all right, I'm gonna leave.
He's like, I'm full.
You're the homeless man.
Speaking of jokes you thought worked. It's a good segue into jokes that they decided to keep doing that didn't work at all. And that is, at the dinner table, this is the first time we get to have the running joke of Jill doesn't understand what movies are.
That's
pretty bad.
So there's a running joke in these movies that where she's like, oh, it's like that movie. Blah, blah, blah. And then where it's just like, oh, it's like that movie where this happens and blah, blah, blah happens. And then someone's like, oh, yeah, it's this movie. And it is that movie. But she insists it's not that movie. So like Pretty Woman. It's like, oh, it's like Julia Roberts when she plays that prostitute. Pretty Woman. Oh, no, not Pretty Woman. When she's, you know, with Richard Gere.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Pretty Woman. No, and then Jason Alexander tries to rape her, and you get the idea. This happens multiple times, like 3 or 4 times in the movie. This joke plays out like that.
I thought you meant Jason Alexander trying to rape Julia Roberts in that movie.
Multiple times.
No. He just does it once, but it does happen.
It's okay. It's just the one time. It's fine.
Yes.
No worries.
But it's okay because she's a prostitute. That's what we find out from
that movie. That's what you learn in the movie. And she likes pancakes.
Oh, that's more than I knew about Pretty Woman. There you go. Learn something new every day.
Yes.
This scene also gets to show off the house that this movie, like 60-70% of the movie takes place in, which, based on how lazy Adam Sandler is, could possibly be his house.
It's a very nice house.
It's a super nice, like, I make $20 million a movie sort of house.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. For a small... So, Anthony, let us know what you think of this, because you're the inside guy.
Right.
For a guy who owns a small advertising agency in California, would he be able to afford that house?
I feel like he wouldn't have a house that big.
Okay.
I'm not a CEO of an advertising agency, so I don't know what their take home pay is, But I feel like if he's got that small of an agency, he's probably got a lot of overhead. So he's making good money, but he's not Adam Sandlering it.
Right.
Yeah.
That's right. So I would have to agree with you then.
Yeah. The assumption would be is that, you know, Katie Holmes makes all the money.
Which she doesn't, because she doesn't do anything. Yeah. She literally, she does. Not only does she not do anything in the movie, she also doesn't work.
Yeah, we have no clue what she does.
She's just a trust fund baby.
Possibly. Her parents look a little well off.
I was just going to say her parents look like they had money. So it's very possible that maybe that
I crack Jack and Jill. Is that?
Yep. Yep. That's the whole movie. That's what all the movie's about. So there's an awkward Thanksgiving dinner, which ends with Jill running off crying into the woods because she doesn't know how to be a functioning adult.
Right, instead of running to her room,
yeah,
she runs outside like a maniac.
Yeah. And then this is early on. This is where we are first introduced. I think it's the morning after we are introduced to our very racist gardener friend.
I'm kidding.
Steal their wallet. I'm kidding.
This is a mouthpiece for whoever wrote this to get away with a whole bunch of Latino jokes, but then walking it back because it's being said by a Hispanic. So it's having their cake and eating it too. Where they're just like, oh, I can't be racist because a Hispanic is saying it.
Right.
So it's not racist, and we're calling out the joke.
Yeah. And
it's okay.
Yeah. At first, I thought this was Hank Azaria when he first pops in.
Yeah. I could see that.
Yeah. But yeah, it was just. I said to Ant, I had to go on IMDb. Just to make sure the actor was Mexican. Not that it makes it any better, but if he was like, you know, a white guy that they put in semi-brown face.
Yeah, he does look like he's a white guy in brown face, but he is actually Hispanic.
Yeah,
I wouldn't put that past Adam Sandler at that point.
Yeah, I'm surprised he wasn't played by Rob Schneider, to be honest with you.
That's a good point.
I feel like that was originally the plan, and they were just like, you know what? People are getting really sensitive to these things now. This isn't Chuck and Larry anymore.
Yeah, this isn't early 2000s.
Yeah.
I can't get away with that anymore.
Yeah. So after we're introduced to the gardener, we have a Hanukkah montage because Jill wants to stay through Hanukkah.
Yes.
So we get scenes of Jill taking the daughter shopping, who I don't even think they might not even name the daughter.
No, I have no clue. Totally forgettable.
Takes her shopping. Then Jill wants to go ride a horse. And then at the request of the owner of the horse, who tells her that she's just much too big to ride the horse. And again, Jill is not that huge. She's not enormous. She's not even like close to Gwyneth Paltrow and Shallow Hal size.
No, but not
close. Jill insists and pushes her way to jump on the horse, and immediately the four legs of the horse, because it's like a little pony, come out from under the horse. So Jill essentially murders that horse.
Yeah.
Because that horse is going to be put down immediately. There's no coming back from that.
Correct.
So that's funny.
The legs are obliterated in that scene.
Yes. So that's funny.
Yeah. It's hilarious. Horse murder.
Yeah. And then Jill doesn't understand personal space and all that kind of fun stuff in this montage. And then she knocks herself out on The Price is Right. Somehow.
That was my second favorite part. That's not really a joke. It's more of a gag.
Right.
But when she hits herself on the head, I laughed, actually.
Doesn't Drew Carey say something like, you know, I don't know how, or no, doesn't she say, someone says, I don't know how this doesn't happen more often, or something.
It would have been funnier if he said, we'll be right back, or something like that. But,
yeah.
don't know. I just like the fact that he falls like a ton of bricks.
That's
the only parts for me.
So after the montage, we realize that Al Pacino is going to still be a thing in this movie. So Jack is still trying to figure out how to get him in the commercial. And ordinarily, he would literally just reach out to Al Pacino's agent, and that's how things would get done. Pacino would have a price, or he'll just say, "Go fuck yourself," and that will be that. So, but Jack doesn't think that way, and he eventually finds out that for some reason finds out that Al Pacino will be at the next Lakers game. So he gets tickets to the Lakers game in hopes that he's going to strike a deal with him on a courtside, and that'll be it. So that's coming up. Al Pacino will play a bigger role in this movie coming up. And then we have a very small scene of at the movies with the family, and Jack and Jill aren't so different, guys. They kind of have the same moves, scratch themselves in the same way. But then
they're
twins, guys.
they laugh the same, they fart the same.
Mm-hmm.
They're two peas in a pod, guys.
Two peas in a very terrible pod.
A very sour pod.
Yes. And then this is another opportunity to find out that Jill does not understand social norms, because she fields a phone call in the middle of the movie and talks loudly. Jack gets upset, reasonably upset.
Right.
And Jill runs off and cries because that's what she does, because she's not an adult.
Yeah.
The one part of that scene that I don't understand, she takes the phone call. People are getting visibly annoyed. You see it.
Mm-hmm.
Jack yells at her. She gets up and runs away. A random moviegoer says, "Way to make a girl cry, bro." You were just saying, "Be quiet."
Yes.
One of the people who was visibly annoyed. So if I were that person and, you know, someone else was answering the phone and the person next to them told them to shut the fuck up and leave, I would not say, "Hey, way to make her cry, bro." I'd be like, "Oh, thank God."
Yeah. That's not my problem anymore.
I do not need to handle this situation now. Thank you.
Sucks for that guy, but I now I can watch the movie.
Oh, he would have been my hero at that point.
Yeah.
I would have high-fived him.
Like, yeah, that chick was annoying as fuck.
Yeah. Make women cry. Woo!
So from there, we find out that what we probably assumed is that Jill has really never dated at all because she's a horrible human being. And the kids convince her. This is like the one thing that the kids do throughout the whole movie is decide to tell her about online dating, which could have been done by anybody, really. But the kids did it, so they have sort of a point. But this really goes nowhere. This whole plot line doesn't go anywhere, so it really doesn't matter. So they put her profile on online dating, and she doesn't get any hits. So Jack decides to put her profile on Craigslist and gets a whole bunch of creepers.
He greatly embellishes her profile.
Yeah. He basically says she's going to put out and she's a freak. And if you want something freaky,
and she's super
mark up this tree.
Yeah.
Yeah. So he gets Norm MacDonald to answer the call.
She lands a doozy.
Yeah. Underutilized Norm MacDonald cameo. Yeah. Because he really doesn't do anything Norm MacDonald-like, which is, he just is him. And then he eventually gets up from the restaurant, the dinner table, excuses himself to go to the bathroom, and then he ditches her.
He asks her a question at dinner. I don't remember what the question is.
Yeah.
But it is very Norm MacDonald-ish.
Mm-hmm. I don't remember what the question is either.
Yeah.
I think he asks her, is like she for real or something like that? Like, well, yeah, well, of course I am. Like, oh, okay, well, I'm gonna go to the bathroom then, and then he leaves. Well, is this for is this serious?
Well, he actually grabs onto the light above the toilet.
That's right.
And hides from her.
Like Spider-Man in the bathroom.
Yeah.
The window, which would have been the better gag, I think.
Yes. A better gag would have just been him getting up to go off, and then you hear the car start. And...
I left my wallet in the car. Runs away.
That classic. So, and then Jill, understandably, gets upset, goes home, and of course she cries again.
For the fifth time.
Because she cries, and then... And then Jack tries to make it up to her by taking her to the Lakers game. Because this is his plan. This is him putting his plan into action to get to talk to Al Pacino, who is hanging out with Johnny Depp for some reason at the Lakers game, who is just nothing but scarves and hats at this point in his career.
And looks uncomfortable playing Johnny Depp.
Yeah.
Just a walking, talking scarf.
Yeah, this is the point in Johnny Depp's career when everyone stopped thinking he was a good actor.
Was it 2011?
Yeah, this is like right around the time where it's, you know.
I still thought he had like two or three more good years, and then
that was it. Depends on what you think of Public Enemies.
Terrible movie.
Yeah.
Very bad movie. All right, so yeah, this is when he's trending downward.
Yes. So, for some reason, Al Pacino is super attracted to Jill based solely on the fact that she's from the Bronx, and Al Pacino could literally go to the Bronx, swing a cat, and hit any number of women that would be much more interesting to spend time with.
I don't think he could do that anymore.
I feel like he could bag a woman slightly better than Jill just because of how terrible Jill is.
Yeah, I mean, well, that's given, but I don't think it would be as easy as you think. Not now.
Well, now he looks like a lesbian woman.
Maybe he could.
Maybe make it easier.
He could land himself a lesbian woman. So now Jack decides it's time to pimp out his sister to Al Pacino to get the Dunkin' Donuts account. So that's good. He's a good person.
Yeah. I'm going to call bullshit on this. And I think if she really cared about her brother, she would have gone on a date with Al Pacino to help him. Doesn't have to do anything. All she has to do is go on a date. And you could do worse. It's Al Pacino.
I don't know, man.
You do it for the story at the very least.
No means no. I got to... If she's not feeling it, she's not feeling it. Maybe she should be feeling it, but she ain't. Beggars shouldn't be choosy. I'll agree with you on that.
Throughout this movie, she's trying to figure out a way to get close to Jack, right? She's trying to make him happy, right? She wants to reconnect with her brother. What better way than to land the big one for your brother? And maybe it's not under the right pretenses, but it's like, all right. I've been a huge bitch. I've done nothing but complain and make his life hard. If I got this for him, maybe he would start to like come around to me, you know?
Sure. However, that does require self-reflection, and that is something that Jill does not possess.
Okay. That's a good point. Yeah, she's not very self-aware.
No, she's an awful human being, and Jack is no better, but he does eventually have a moment of self-reflection. So they're perfect twins, to be honest with you. But she's also developmentally challenged. She's obviously has a learning disability. So I don't feel comfortable saying that Jack is in the right for pimping out his sister to Al Pacino, because she might have the mental capacity of a 7-year-old.
So it's bad on both accounts then, because Jack knows this and Pacino probably senses it but doesn't care.
Yeah, he's blinded by it. He's blinded by the accent.
Yeah,
he just hears a Bronx accent, and it sets him off.
By the way, everybody, I don't know what your feelings of a New York accent is, but they're all terrible.
Yeah.
As someone that has family from New York and family that have Brooklyn accents, let me tell you that every New York accent is garbage. I don't care if you say, oh, no, Queens is worse, or Long Island, or Staten Island is worse. They're all terrible.
I think any coast, any accent from the coast is pretty terrible. Mm-hmm. East Coast.
Except for Philadelphia. That's a beautiful accent.
I don't like any of those accents.
No, they're all awful. And that throw in Boston, too, just so we're covering all our bases. Boston, New York, Philadelphia, all terrible accents. Baltimore, too. Baltimore's got a weird accent.
Yeah, but the one thing I got to say is, in this movie, I have to give Al Pacino the Terry Crews Memorial Award for giving it 100%, no matter what the material is.
He has fun with
he
it.
Is fucking he Al Pacino is. In this entire movie.
I'll say that, yeah.
When he's performing Shakespeare, while this is all going on, while Jack is trying to woo him, Pacino is playing Shakespeare. I think like King Lear, or he's going from...
I think so.
And you can tell he's having fun with it, and it's not the worst part of the movie when they're showing him do that, because he flips the fuck out on stage, and it's pretty... It's like highlight Pacino.
Yeah, it's the one moment in this movie where you're like, oh, that's what an actor does.
Yeah, right. It's just someone in the audience, their phone rings, and Pacino tries to act through it with the phone continuing to go off, and then finally he just, in true Pacino form, snaps on the guy.
Yeah.
So it's one of, again, it's not my favorite part, but it's one of the parts where, yeah, that I could see that happening, and it's kind of funny.
Yeah. So then Jack, stops trying to pressure his sister into going out with Al Pacino. And then we have a birthday dinner scene, which is an extremely long scene and has no effect on the plot whatsoever.
And is just meant to get as many celebrities into the movie as possible.
Yes, this is cameos, Cameo Central that does not hold up, and we'll get that to a second.
No, not at all.
But the question, is there a scene missing where Jack invites Al Pacino to his birthday party?
No. But he shows up.
Right. What I'm saying is he shows up. Now, are we to assume that he just happened to be there? Or did Jack go behind his sister's back and invite Al Pacino to the party?
Well, Jack didn't know about the party. I think Nick Swartzen's character set it up.
Okay.
Yeah.
So I don't know how he would have figured out unless the agency reached out to him.
Maybe.
But it's never explained.
Yeah.
Or Al Pacino just did a B&E to get into the party. Right.
At this point, it might have been what Al Pacino did.
Yeah. So, as we mentioned, the cameos are weird. Cool. 7 years later. Some weird ones are Bill Romanowski and Vince the ShamWow guy, who were just known as being awful people. I believe Vince the ShamWow guy got arrested for beating up a prostitute.
Yeah, we'll go with that.
I think that's right.
Yeah, I think that's right. Bill Romanowski was always just the real shit human being for even when he was playing. I think he got suspended for steroids a half dozen times or something like that.
Yeah.
And there are just some weird ones, too. Billy Blanks from Tybo. Michael Irvin. Dan Patrick, who looks like... Who... Are they insinuating he's dating Christy Brinkley? In She's always kind of around Dan Patrick, which is odd.
Dan Patrick are boys, though.
Yeah, he winds up in all his movies for some reason. And then John McEnroe shows up and does John McEnroe, just kind of yells and insinuates that Nick Swartzen is an awful person because he's an atheist, which is an odd moment, too.
Yeah. Kind of but, just out of the field.
Yeah, but the one cameo I haven't mentioned yet is by far the most outdated one. And that is Jared Fogle from Subway.
Who has two very young women next to him.
Yes. They're not young for Jared Fogle's standards, but they're pretty young.
At the time, it was a red flag.
Yeah. They look like they're very, very attractive models, but they're probably like college aged.
Yeah, it's
too old for him,
as he would say. Too old for him. I'd be surprised.
Yeah, they're pretty young looking.
And they make a comment about that.
Yeah, I think they mentioned something about the fact that he's with young women.
He's like these two painted up whores or something like that.
Something like that. So it's made I think so, yeah.
It's
cringy.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather, now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
VGW Group, no purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions, 18+.
It's cringy.
Yeah. Yep. I'm glad I got to see it.
Yeah, so then Jack and Jill blow out the candles, and Jill has another freak out for no reason because she doesn't understand she doesn't understand how to be a human being in public. She runs off, and she runs into Al Pacino, who is stalking her like a super creep.
Very Al Pacino like, I think.
Yeah, and he invites her over to his house for some cake and to talk and all stuff. And they play stickball for no reason, which is my favorite joke of the movie. So they play stickball in his study, I guess.
Yeah.
And Jill is incredible at stickball for some reason.
She's from the Bronx.
She's from the Bronx, but she's never played before.
It's in the blood. Been...
Yeah. And she breaks his Oscar. And this is my favorite joke of the whole movie. So she breaks it and she says, "Oh, I'm so sorry, but I'm sure you have plenty of others." And he says, "You think that, but no, actually, that's my only one."
Hey, it's a nice jab.
I think there's a nice poking fun of him.
I partially wondered if that was written or...
He ad-libbed.
Or he ad-libbed that.
It's a good question.
I feel like it was written.
Yeah, I think that would be written. Yeah. I'm surprised he was cool enough to go along with it then.
Yeah, I'm sure he's fine with it. He's got
at this point in his career, he doesn't give a fuck, I imagine.
Yeah, I don't think he really cares. He again tries to seduce her. She spurns his advances and runs out. And then this is a part where I believe there is a scene missing. So she runs away, and then the very next scene is the next morning. She's again crying in the woods because she had a big fight with Jack.
Right. The
guard we do not see.
Right. The gardener finds her and asks why she's out there, and she says Jack got mad at me, and we never saw that.
Nope.
Yeah. Or one of two things. It's probably bad editing. I'm not going to put it past. But maybe she was trying to keep the Pacino stuff quiet, and it was just the fight they had that she originally ran out on at the birthday party, is what she was talking about.
Possibly.
I don't know.
I think it's bad editing, but...
Yeah.
Yeah, I think so, too.
Yeah. And then this is when we get to the super racist Mexican picnic.
Yeah. Well, not before the homeless guy tries to eat the bird.
Oh yeah, I don't remember that, but yeah. So super racist Mexican picnic occurs, where they do everything that you would expect at a super racist Mexican picnic with a weird grandma. I didn't get the whole grandma thing.
The grandma's actually played by the gardener.
Oh, is it? Was he really?
Yeah, because when you look at the IMDb credits, it's /
grandma.
Yeah, whatever.
Gotcha.
They have a weird running joke in that picnic where the grandma is fueled by tamales.
Or jalapenos.
Jalapenos, yeah.
She keeps getting knocked out, and the way to get her resuscitated is to wave jalapenos underneath her, because she's Mexican, get it?
I think they feed her jalapeno.
Because she's Mexican, get it?
Yeah, it's that's her spinach.
Yeah. And that's where the I'm just kidding jokes come back again.
And Jill all of a sudden is pretty good at soccer.
She's super great at soccer. Again, her superhuman abilities for some reason.
And they kind of set up a pseudo, they set up a love story between the gardener and Jill.
Mm-hmm. Which is not fully developed at all.
But
it's only two scenes.
She has the churro dump coming.
Yeah.
She gets a tummy ache.
Poop
jokes.
Poop jokes.
Remember the beginning when I said there were plenty of fart jokes in this movie? Mm-hmm. This is one of them.
Before she blows up the bathroom in Jack's house, super creep Al Pacino tracks her down.
This is one of my favorite parts of the movie.
Okay, why don't you take it away on this one? What happened?
Because he breaks in and he's basically Scarface. Searching for someone. And he just runs through the house going, Jill? I know you're in here, Jill. And he gets super mad at Jack, who keeps going, I don't know. She's not here. What are you? And then he starts kicking down doors. And then he goes into the bedroom, and that's where the sweat stains. And that's where the joke completes itself, because then he lays in the sweat stain just so he could be near her in there. But he goes full, like, the direction from, you know, the script or the director to, I'm assuming, was it Sandler, or was there an actual separate director?
It's separate director.
Separate Duggar? Director. He did Dennis Dugan. Okay. Sandler doesn't direct his own movies.
Okay. I wasn't sure. But, you know, the direction had to be, okay, in this scene, you're Scarface. Go, Al.
I feel like that's what they kind of told him to do throughout the movie. Just let Al Pacino be Al Pacino.
Yeah, this scene. Sure. Yeah, this scene, you're Michael. This scene, you're Scarface. But yes. that was my second favorite joke of the movie, was just him being very intimidating and just screaming in Jack's house, and Jack not once thinking, hey, maybe I should call the cops. Al Pacino is busting all the doors in my house.
Broke into his second house.
Yeah. So the whole point of this scene is that Al Pacino says, you get me Jill and I'll give you the Dunkin' Donuts commercial.
Yeah.
So Jack once again has to try and pimp out his sister. So he invites her on their family cruise to Spain
for the new year.
Yeah. Which is really just a commercial for Royal Caribbean Cruises.
Yep.
He tries to set up a date between Pacino and Jill. She refuses again. And that sets up Jack is going to dress up as Jill. Now this sets up the classic man dressing up as a woman to pretend to be a woman. This sets up an actual, my second favorite joke, or one that I thought was successful, between him and the bathroom attendant.
Yep.
He dresses up like Jill in the one of the bathrooms of the cruise, and he comes out of the stall and there's a bathroom attendant there who motions over to Jack, and he adjusts his fake boobs.
Yeah. And this scene happens after another thing that, looking back on it with eyes now, is kind of slightly wrong. When he first makes the deal with Pacino while Pacino's doing the Shakespeare again, you know, he goes, well, aren't you doing Shakespeare? Why are you talking on the phone? And he makes a joke to LA about LA, and he goes, this is LA Shakespeare. They have Bruce Jenner as King Lear.
Yes, yes, and I forgot
he's
about
actually
that.
There.
Yeah. Yeah, and he's on his cell phone while he's there. And then this scene is almost directly after that.
Yeah. We also get a moment on the cruise where we find out that both Jack and Jill are extremely good at double dutch.
Makes no sense.
Which makes, again, no sense. However, what I like about this scene and why I'm mentioning it is that because Sandler is so lazy that he's CG'd and body doubled throughout that entire scene. So he couldn't even spend 2 weeks, you know, kind of getting all right at double dutch.
Jumping up and down.
So he's literally when you can see it's him, it's CG'd, and when it gets really intricate, it's body doubled.
Also, I've never been on a cruise before, but I will bet money that there has never been in the history of a cruise children playing double dutch on deck.
Probably not. Yeah, that's weird.
I've got my life on it.
Yeah. Okay, so back where we were. So he sets up. He winds up going on a date with Pacino as Jill. And another joke at Jill's feminine qualities is that, you know, now Pacino thinks she's a little more feminine now that it's actually Jack.
He asked if he lost weight.
Mm-hmm.
Looks skinnier.
Right. So while that's going on, Jill feels like she's made Jack upset, and she's talking to Katie Holmes, who is there for some reason because she showed up to work that day.
Tom Cruise let her out. No,
yeah. So it's another scene of Jill being superhuman strong.
Which actually this, I liked a little bit. This
where she's just lifting weights with the bodybuilders, and she's just doing a one handed like 1,000 pounds or whatever. For some reason, it's there. It's the gag.
Yeah,
that's the whole point of the gag.
The one bit that I like in that is she gets the original one and lifts it, and then puts it down and just goes two more, and then turns around and keeps talking to Katie Holmes. Mm-hmm. That made me chuckle a little bit. Like his delivery in that, you know, made it work a little bit more than the rest of the joke did. Like it went on too long.
Right.
But that little moment where it was just like, it was pretty well done. And then like every other joke in this movie, they just didn't know when to end it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So then, back to Jack and Pacino's date. He gets drunk with Pacino and they have a heart to heart. Winds up picking Jill's brain a little bit there. But then Jill finds out about his plan for the Pacino date. So she gets upset and runs back to the Bronx.
All
at this point, all the way from Spain. Yep.
I think they make a special drop off on the way back.
Possibly.
Yeah.
So
you got it, Toots.
Yeah. So Jill is alone for New Year's. She goes to a little bar. She runs into her old classmates, including another SNL alum in drag, played by David Spade, who's super mean to her. He's super trashy, though.
The way you just said that was hilarious. David Spade.
Joe himself.
Disappointed in David Spade.
It took me until he started walking towards her to realize it was him.
Like, I'll tell you what, though. The prosthetics on David Spade were not half bad.
Yeah, you said David Spade could get it?
He looked like he had big boobs.
Would you say that David Spade could get it?
If he's not looking at me, yes. Yes. If she, you know, paper bag over the head kind of thing, yes.
Okay. Good to know.
He's getting it.
David Spade woman is super mean to Jill, and just in time, Jack's family comes in and kind of defends her, and then there's some weird almost fight Oh, no, there's actual fight, right?
Fight, yeah.
Yeah.
There's scuff.
At first, now, David Spade beats up Katie Holmes.
Oh, yeah, that was weird.
For no reason.
Again, like, Katie Holmes doesn't even need to be there, but apparently she gets the shit kicked out of her.
Right. I think the scene would have had more of an impact if it was just Jack showing up.
Yeah. And then Al Pacino as Don Quixote comes in. And
again,
perfection. Might have been the strangest part of this movie.
100% all in that bit.
Yeah.
He's Don Quixote.
And then they just kind of sort of reconcile. Adam Sandler finally gets to do gibberish, which he was probably holding on, wanting to do the whole time.
That's how the premise of the movie started.
Mm-hmm. It's like, how much gibberish do I get to speak in this movie?
It's in his contract.
Yeah.
He has to at least have one full page of dialogue that's just gibberish.
Mm-hmm.
And now he got to say gibberish for two characters in this movie.
And to me, that's Adam Sandler at his worst.
Talking to himself in gibberish?
Whenever he's doing gibberish, just in general, when he's doing gibberish or where he's talking in a silly, like, baby voice, like, I am embarrassed for him. Even in Billy Madison, like, early in his career, when he's at the dinner table and he's doing the gibberish for no reason.
Right.
It's like, what are you? You're an adult.
It made him millions. Millions.
I don't get it. And I you know, I liked Billy Madison growing up, and I still could watch it and be like, oh, it's super dated. It's kind of, it's not as good as I remember it, but it's watchable. But that just seemed like, bah, oof, it's so cringe. His voice in Waterboy and Little Nicky is so super cringe.
I like Waterboy.
I don't like Waterboy.
I like Waterboy. See, this is more of my leaning more towards liking Sandler.
People like Waterboy. I feel like I'm in the minority on that one.
It's got Henry Winkler, man. Come on. I hate him.
The Fonz is in it, man.
It's some good Winkler.
So getting back to the movie at hand, Jill and the Gardener connect for some reason.
Yep.
That's what the tagline of this movie is. Things happen for some reason.
This person shows up for some reason.
And then that's essentially the end of the story. The last scene is we finally get to see the Dunkin' Donuts Dunkachino commercial starring Al Pacino.
It's so bad.
It's so bad. Yeah, which I guess is on purpose. But it's still a Dunkin' Donuts commercial, regardless of how bad it is. It's still, like, we're literally getting sold Dunkin' Donuts to us while we're watching this movie.
Dunkin' Donuts actually paid money for that to happen.
Yeah. Which leads Pacino to utter the line, which I'm assuming he said when he saw the final cut of this film, he says, burn this.
I think they intercut him watching the actual movie with him watching the commercial.
Yeah.
So the cameras were just kind of rolling without Pacino knowing, like, yeah, just burn this. This never should see the light of day.
Yeah. And then I guess that's basically the end of the movie, right?
It is. They do the twins do their thing at the
twins
end.
Twins do kind of, they bring back the real life twins, and then they have more conversations, but it really doesn't affect anything.
And then Sandler shows up as Jack and Jill during that segment.
Yeah.
As well.
Which just ruins it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's Jack and Jill.
Yeah.
Everyone had a bad time.
Except Dan.
Not as bad. Not as bad as you guys, but not a good time. I'm not going to say I sat there and enjoyed my time watching it, but I didn't hate myself.
Yeah. I felt responsible for this. So,
re-earthing it.
Yeah. Cuz I don't think anybody's watched this in like probably like 4 years.
Well, I'll never watch it again. Just because I didn't hate it doesn't mean I ever plan on watching this again.
You're gonna anytime you see it on TV, it's gonna stay on.
It's not be one of those movies.
Yep. Years from now, Dan's gonna be like, you know, that Jack and Jill, every time it's on, man, I just find myself watching it.
I can't switch the channel.
Al Pacino.
He really gets me. I gotta see what Jared was like before he got he got sent to the clink.
I don't think there's a worse percentage of bad cameos in any movie in the history of film.
Yeah,
in this movie.
He really struck out on these cameos.
Man, they're weird. Some of these are just so weird. Like, why is Bill Romanowski there?
Yeah, they even credit Kobe Bryant as a cameo because he walks behind them during the filming of one of the scenes.
Right.
Like, because they're probably filming at the actual basketball game.
Right, yeah.
Right. Yeah, and even Johnny Depp is just not a good cameo.
Johnny Depp just happened to be in town that day.
Right. That might have been one of those things where it was like a moonshot. Like, hey, you know, we're going to be filming in L.A.
And Nicholson said no.
Yeah, right? I feel like it's like Johnny Depp's kid probably goes to school with Adam Sandler's kid.
Right.
Like, oh, you want to do? You want to go to a Lakers game and shoot a quick scene? Like, yeah, whatever. I'm going to wear this weird Justin Bieber shirt for no reason.
I actually thought that was what the children were. Like one of his friends' kids, and he was kind of doing his buddies a favor. Like, yeah, I'll have your kids on it because they are. I don't think they'll ever be seen again in movies.
Nope.
And they definitely act like they've never had any experience in front of a camera before.
They're completely inconsequential.
Yeah.
I mean, and like I said, Katie Holmes is too. She's completely inconsequential to the movie.
If you took them out, it's the same movie, like you said.
Yep.
Might even be better.
Could be. Probably could have done a little more characterization of Jack. Maybe he's like, you know, he's a big shot ad exec. Maybe he's kind of like a ladies' man. You know how Adam Sandler likes to portray himself as that.
That's right. Jessica Biel, Jennifer Aniston.
Yeah, so he's like, you know, he's running through hoes. And that's, you know, really, and then Jill comes in and really cramps his style, something like that.
Yeah. That would have been probably better.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, there's a lot of ways. There's a lot of ways they could have made this movie better. But alas, they made the movie that they made. This is one of my least favorite movies that we've done.
Yeah. Not to blow the lid off the one statement you made, but apparently the kid, the son, has got the main role in the Mowgli? Legend of the Jungle movie coming out. With Christian Bale and Benedict Cumberbatch.
That's a movie that's like 3 years too late.
Yeah.
I don't know what the obsession with Mowgli is all of a sudden, but it can go away.
Yeah. Well, good for that kid, but he was completely useless in this movie.
Yes.
That was 7 years ago, though, so I guess he's still got a career. That's good for him.
Good for him. He survived.
Yeah.
The girl tried to do something, but it looks like she did like a bit short movie or something.
If I was going to see these kids, it would be like a short spot in like Law & Order SVU or something like that.
Yeah.
Totally inconsequential. Like, yeah, the bad man ran out that way. Mariska Hargitay, like, oh, okay, we'll take care of you, and then they're never seen again.
Oh, that's great. They in IMDb, they put someone in here that was credited as the second rewrite of this movie.
Oof. I'd like to see what the first draft was.
I'm surprised they put that much effort into it.
Yeah.
It's still a movie. So I guess...
Oh, Alan Covert's got the second rewrite. And Robert Smigel, of all people.
It's the first SNL. Rewrite and the second rewrite.
Wow. Interesting. So, Yeah, I mean, Alan Covert obviously is the homeless guy. I didn't realize he did like as much writing.
Yeah, I thought he was just one of his like the hangers on, really. Yeah. Just like, yeah, just show up for a couple days and get paid a few thou, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Go to a nice scale. Location.
Yeah, it's that is pretty cool.
This movie has a 3.3 on IMDb. Might be one of the lowest movies we've reviewed.
Yeah, I mean, I gave it a 4, so that's about right, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
I was being generous.
Yeah, I think a 3 is just about in line with what I would feel.
Yep. Exactly what I was thinking. Yeah.
Still, this is worse than... Is this worse than Ernest Goes to School?
It might be.
Yes.
Because I think I have more goodwill towards Ernest.
Jim Varney.
And Jim Varney than I do for Adam Sandler. I hear his new Netflix special is pretty good. I can't get myself to watch it.
Not a chance.
Like, every time someone says, you know, it's really good, it really feels like old Sandler. I'm just like, nah, I'm not falling for that one. I don't know why someone would lie about that to me, but I just feel like they're lying about it to me to get me to watch it and then just be like, I totally got you.
I would rather be totally wrong about this movie and never watch it.
Yeah.
His stand up, I'd rather just be wrong and just not watch it.
Yeah. Agreed.
Mm-hmm.
We're all in agreement.
All right, guys. So that's going to do it for Jack and Jill. I do have some trivia if you guys want to hang out for a little bit longer.
Yeah, we could do a little bit.
All right. Well, it is Thanksgiving trivia. All
right. Good. Good. I just experienced that, so.
Great. So you know you've been through Thanksgiving. So, so 10 questions. Not two different categories this time because it's a special occasion, or was a special occasion.
It wasn't Adam Sandler trivia.
No, I didn't try. I pulled an Adam Sandler and I did little effort.
Channeled your inner Sandler.
Yeah. So who went last time first?
I believe I started.
Okay.
And just went on my run.
That's right. It was a massive. All right, so we're going to go with Dan first. All right, Dan, Thanksgiving trivia. In what decade was the first Thanksgiving?
What decade?
Yeah, so I'm being a little generous. I'm not asking for the exact date. I'm asking for, like, a 10-year period. So, like, this is the 2010s. That's this decade. When was the first Thanksgiving?
So like, maybe the 1500s kind of thing? Is that what you're asking?
Right. That's a, yeah.
Okay.
In 10 year decade. Increments. Yeah.
Shit. I should know this. I'm going to say, how close can you be without going over or?
No, the decade. If you get the decade right, you get it. If you don't get the decade right, then you don't get it.
I'm sorry. Explain it to me one more time. Just
so, like, you know how this, like, you've heard of the 1990s, right?
Yeah.
That's a decade.
Okay. Well,
the 1980s is another decade.
Well,
the
1950s
is another decade.
I think of like the 80s and the 90s.
The 1770s is another decade.
Okay, so you want me to say the whole thing, like the 1550s or whatever? Okay.
Yes. But I'm you can't say the 90s and get it right.
Right. I'm going to say 1480.
It's incorrect. Mark.
1620s.
That's correct.
Can I guess the year? Not for any extra points, just for my own satisfaction.
I don't have the answer. Oh, okay, never mind. But what would you have said?
1621.
I believe that's right.
Yeah.
Pretty good.
Okay, goes to Mark now. Mark?
Yes.
So I think Mark knows Thanksgiving as well as he knows Harry Potter. What president made Thanksgiving a national holiday?
FDR? Oh, no. Shit. I'll take the loss, but I know.
It's incorrect.
I know it, but shit.
Dan, do you have the answer?
Teddy Roosevelt?
It's incorrect.
Can I, Mark. Not for any points, but
right.
Is it Lincoln?
It is Lincoln.
Fuck.
Thought it was later than that.
Nope. I'll say because it's not another question down here, but FDR moved it. That's what you're probably thinking of.
Yes.
Yeah. And then eventually they moved it back.
Why does Mark know so much about Thanksgiving?
I don't know.
It's probably history more than anything.
I believe FDR moved it to the third Thursday of November for more shopping days for Christmas. And then in 1941, I want to say Congress moved it back to what it is now.
Yeah.
If I remember correctly. Okay. Dan, your question. What cartoon character was the first balloon to be featured in the 1927 Macy's Thanksgiving Parade? So this was the first balloon ever in the Macy's Thanksgiving Parade, and it was a cartoon character.
I'm saying Mickey Mouse.
It's incorrect. Mark.
Cartoon character. What was the year again?
1927.
Yeah, it's going to be a comic strip. I don't know. I'm going to say Popeye.
It's incorrect, but you're on the right track. It was Felix the Cat.
Okay, yeah.
Okay. Mark.
Yes.
Your question. What TV sitcom ended one of the most famous Thanksgiving episodes ever with the quote, "As God is my witness, I thought turkeys could fly"?
Oh. I'm going to say Seinfeld.
It's incorrect. Dan, can you steal?
Repeat the question one more time.
What TV sitcom ended one of the most famous Thanksgiving episodes ever with the quote, "As God is my witness, I thought turkeys could fly"?
MASH?
It's incorrect. The correct answer is WKRP in Cincinnati.
Oh, okay.
Still 1-0, Mark.
Yeah.
It's Dan's question. Dan, what classic rock song is played on Thanksgiving on radio stations across the country as a tradition?
What classic rock song?
So every year on Thanksgiving, a certain rock song is played on radio stations as tradition on Thanksgiving. What song?
I didn't know they had one.
It is a Thanksgiving song.
It is a Thanksgiving song. Is it the Turkey Song by Adam Sandler?
It is not. Mark?
Alice's Restaurant.
Yep. Arlo Guthrie's Alice's Restaurant Massacre.
Yep. Yeah. And thank you to my friend Andrew, who tweeted it out for 4 years straight. The entire song.
Wow.
So
it is a very long song.
Yes. And very long tweets.
Yes.
This was back when it was 140 characters.
Okay, Mark, you're up 2-0. Your question. The Pilgrims celebrated the first Thanksgiving with which Native American tribe?
I'm just going to say the Iroquois.
It's incorrect.
It's incorrect.
Dan?
Is it the Sioux?
No.
It's incorrect. The correct answer is the Wampanoag. Oh,
yeah.
I think I pronounced that right. I don't, probably not.
I think, no, Wampanoag is right.
Dan, your question. In the first Thanksgiving episode of the TV series Friends, which parade balloon gets loose and runs amok in New York, prompting the group to go to watch from the roof and lock themselves out of the apartment?
I hate Friends. Ronald McDonald.
Incorrect. Mark?
Garfield?
Is incorrect.
Oh.
The name of the episode is The One Where Underdog Gets Away.
I was thinking Mighty Mouse, too, for some reason.
The answer is Underdog. Okay, Mark,
yeah.
Your question. Which U.S. president was the first to give a turkey a presidential pardon?
I think it's a little more recent than we were thinking. I'm probably wrong, but for some reason I'm going to think it's someone out of left field, like Nixon.
It's incorrect. Dan.
I'm going to say... First, George Bush.
It's incorrect, but you're close. It was Ronald Reagan.
Okay.
Damn. All right.
I didn't think it was that late.
Dan, your question. Who did the Lions play in the first Thanksgiving game in 1934?
Chicago Bears?
That's correct.
Yeah.
It's 2-1.
Yeah, that would have been my first guess.
2-1. 2-1. So, Mark, your question to seal it.
To win. 2 in a row.
In Planes, Trains, and Automobiles,
oh, man.
Steve Martin's character is trying to get home from work in time for Thanksgiving. Where does his odyssey start and where does it end?
Oh, God, I wish I would have watched that this year.
Not a clue.
Dan's tipping his hand.
So. I can guess anything. For some reason, I think it, I'm going to say two weird cities. For some reason, I think it would begin somewhere more west coast, so I might be completely wrong there, but let's say somewhere like Denver and end in Chicago.
It's incorrect.
I know. Dan?
Starts in Pittsburgh, ends in Minnesota.
Incorrect. Mark, you were half right. I didn't want to tell you that unless Dan was able to get the whole thing. So in the movie, Steve Martin works in New York City.
Okay.
And he lives in Chicago.
Yeah. I knew it had to be a Midwest city to end in because of the snowstorm.
Yeah.
Part of it.
Yep. Yeah. So, Mark wins again. Yeah. He's on a roll, ladies and gentlemen. Don't let him get hot.
All right, Mark.
I got lucky with a couple history questions in the beginning, and then my one friend being a masochist and tweeting out a song 4 times.
I never even heard of that song before.
I do have a tiebreaker question.
Go ahead.
How many turkeys in millions are eaten each year on Thanksgiving?
60 million.
Mark?
I'll go 75.
Dan is closest. Okay. The correct answer is 46 million.
Oh, okay. That's a lot of turkeys.
That is a lot of turkeys.
I don't want to sound high and mighty, but I adopted a turkey this year, so... You guys
Just like Trump.
Did he?
I don't know.
Oh, okay. Well, if he did, then I feel really bad.
But. Well, he has to pardon. He pardoned two turkeys this year.
Mm-hmm. Because now he'll be able to say that he's the first. I'm the first president to ever pardon two turkeys in one Thanksgiving.
And then
that's how good he is.
Oh, okay.
Well, congratulations, Mark. That was a well fought victory.
Yes.
Yep. That's going to do it for us this week. We're trying to figure out what our schedule is going to be for Christmas. We might just. We might go weekly for Christmas. We haven't decided yet, but so we're hopefully going to have some really terrible Christmas movies to talk about next couple of weeks as December rolls in. We were talking Silent Night, Deadly Night, trying to decide if we'll watch the first one or the second one. I have a personal relationship with the first one. I really enjoy that movie. but we'll see. If you have any suggestions of what Christmas movies we should be watching for this podcast, let us know. Try and avoid it. I want to stay away from Hallmark and Lifetime movies. Those are too obvious. It's like shooting fish in a barrel.
Yeah,
and I've probably watched most of them at this point for the website.
Yeah, actually that's coming up too. I have to figure out if I'm going to fall on that grenade for you, Mark.
Yeah, I tapped out there. I ran out of movies that I didn't even... Yeah.
But we should be strong in December.
Yeah.
So we'll have some good ones that we'll have to discuss. We are, they called this a movie, and we are part of the Main Damie Network. So if you found us, but if you are trying to find us in different ways, we are on Stitcher, we are on iTunes, what's other places? Google Play Podcasts, we're on there, and any other podcast streaming service that you could find. I don't think we're on Spotify. Maybe one day we will be. But you can find us there. We usually post once every other week. But as I said, for Christmas, we're probably going to do weekly. Our other podcast is the Main Damie Podcast as of now, possibly retooling. We have to discuss that, but that goes on the weeks that we don't podcast, for They Call This a Movie. And we are part of the Main Damie Network. So that means you could find us on the maindamie.com, Twitter and Facebook, and Instagram on the Main Damie. Just search any of those. You'll be able to find us. Again, They Call This a Movie. Just search any of your podcast streaming apps and they should pop up. Any plugs for you guys?
Stranger Damies.
Yeah.
Every Wednesday, new episodes air.
Yeah.
Our Real Play D&D podcast starring all three of us, and a couple of our friends who sometimes contribute to the Main Damie.
Yep.
Yeah. So that's the same thing, right? You hear us on iTunes, Podbean, Google Play.
Yep.
Are we on like Spotify or anything like that?
I'm putting them on YouTube just to kind of get people on there because, you know, if we ever go to video, which we'll be testing out soon. For people out there, but you know that there's actually a little backlog on the YouTubes. But yeah, so we just finished up our session that we did for Extra Life, which you can actually watch us do live if you go to our Twitch page. It should be up on YouTube soon. It is 2.5 hours of video that I do have to cut a camera falling down at one point. I don't know how much of the audio we lose by that camera falling down, but I might just need to leave it in for that reason. But yeah, so you'll get to see us do it live. And, you know, the next Wednesday will be the beginning of our newest session that we just did last weekend. A lot of good things happen, a lot of good character development and story development and that. So be on the lookout. We'll be ending the year strong with Stranger Damies, and then we'll be pretty close to our one-year anniversary for that. I think the record date's coming up. All I got to do is look back to see when Carson Wentz tore his knee last year, and that would be the anniversary date, because John let me know in the Roll 20 chat. He's like, bro, Carson Wentz tore his ACL while I'm in the middle of trying to describe a battle.
I'm surprised you didn't lose your mind.
I kept it professional.
Because you knew. You knew all along.
Yeah, that they're going to win the Super Bowl.
They didn't need Carson Wentz. They needed needed Big Dick Nick.
They just needed Tom Brady to drop it. That's all they needed.
That's all they needed.
But anyway, so, you know, and then, you know, we have other special stuff coming up, Talking Strangers, possible one-shots. You know, I know Ant's done one, possibly doing another. Jenny's starting a campaign with friends outside, so maybe she'll get one at one point. Maybe Dan and Tom will decide to do one at some point next year.
Nope.
In Stranger Damies. But, you know, at some point, just like Critical Role, everybody can have a turn at the DM chair.
Too much pressure.
Well, you can run a honey heist.
Yeah, I guess they're it would be nothing but comic book related, and you guys would not have any
fun. It's absolutely. I think there's actually a role-playing game that would suit that out there. But yeah, so that's basically the only shameless plug, is that we got that going up, and we might be improving the product, the production value. We already improved the audio, as you'll notice next session, as we finally got our mic placement pretty good. Oh, excuse me. And hopefully video will be coming soon, but no guarantees on that. So yeah, I think that's been it.
Good. All right. Yeah. So that's, going to wrap it up for, Jack and Jill, and they call this a movie. It's probably going to wind up being our longest podcast. But, yeah, so for Dan and Mark, I am Anthony DelVecchio, telling director of Jack and Jill, Dennis Dugan, to go fuck himself.
Something's brewing at D&D.
Wow!
Al Pacino!
It's not Al anymore. It's Dunk!
Dunkachino?
Don't mind if I do!
What's my name?
Dunkachino.
It's a whole new game.
Dunkachino.
You want creamy goodness? I'm your friend. Say hello to my chocolate blend. Attica, ooh, I lucky light. This whole trial is out of sight. They pull me back in with hazelnut too. Caramel swirl, I know it was you. Everyone wants my Dunkachino. Can't get enough of my Dunkachino. Kids from 7 to 17 lining up for my Dunkachino. What's my name?
Dunkachino.
Dunkachino.
And boom, there you have it. It's actually 32 seconds, so I got to lose 2 seconds. Maybe you can tell me what part you would lose, but I think we are getting there.
Burn this.
I'm sorry?
This must never be seen by anyone.
If you didn't like all those close-ups, we can. No, this is not the final cut. There's no doubt we can.
All copies. Destroy them.
You want me to play it again?
Has anybody seen this?
Nobody has seen this.
They have to be found and talked to.
All right. To be honest, I showed my wife. She couldn't believe.
No good.